But hang on, I can't tell that story. I've already done it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, you can't tell that story. Glenn just started a story, and I said, you've already told that one. But it wouldn't matter, but it was quite recently.
Yeah. So I can't. The thing is, things happen in your life. And you go, oh, that's an interesting little slice of life that I can bring to the podcast that I wouldn't normally talk about anywhere else.
Yeah.
Just so happened that the story I told, I've already told that story before.
Yeah.
So that's what happens on this show, and it's what happens in life too when you see your partner rolling their eyes because, you know, you're going to go into that.
I know. My kids actually said the other day I told them a story that they hadn't heard before.
Oh.
From school. Because they're always asking for school stories. And I told them one, and they'd never heard it. And they were so amazed because they'd heard all my stories. You know how I made the bomb down the park,
and
the police came over, how Noddy put bikes on the roof at high school and everyone started throwing stuff at him and he started throwing stuff back. I must have about 10 of them. Well, I've got to find some more.
On Christmas Day, we do a thing called Anecdote Request.
Oh, really?
Where you can go, Dave, can you tell the story about when you made the bomb? And if you request it, there's something magical about it.
What do you get requested? Surely we've heard the story.
What do you ring me and you ask me to tell about the time that Uncle
Arthur... Yoga with Sting.
Went
to New Zealand. There was the Uncle Arthur competition.
Yeah, where they're in the middle of the racetrack.
The one you did live on the podcast where getting bitten on the penis. Old fella.
Yeah. What are your... They're my top three probably.
Because when I... go and do stand up and stuff, and someone wants you to tell a story. Or the other day, I did like a bus owners conference. Hang
on. So there's all the bus owners get together,
and bus manufacturers, and bus lobbyists in Canberra. It's a big deal. Glenn. And I had to go.
They all turn up on time.
Yeah, hey, that's a good joke. And it was a breakfast gig, and my manager said, "Now there's a possibility there could be a toilet on stage when you're performing." I'm like, "Why would there be a toilet on stage?" Well, the guy from the bus manufacturer had it as a prop, so he did the big magician reveal. He pulled the black cloth off it, and there was like a toilet sitting there. And he goes, "This is how we should be powering buses in the future." And anyway, then he finished, and then brought me on, and so I kept leaning on the toilet like it was a mic stand. I said, "I got to stop touching the toilet."
Now, I've heard that story before. Have I heard it?
Radio. I've heard it
not on the podcast.
Not on this podcast. No.
You're good. You know where you drop your
stories. Drop my magic.
Drop your magic.
And I said to the guy while I was on stage, this is a pretty big effort. Are you going to take this back to Bunnings?
Yeah.
Hope you got the receipt. But what happened there, I did my stand-up, which went really well, but I only had to do like 20 minutes. But then the guy goes, he's giving me the pad. Because they were waiting for the Deputy Prime Minister to turn up.
As you do.
He was given a talk, Macna, one of those guys. He's a National Party guy. And so I went, no. So I kept going. Then I just went, I've done at least 25 now. And the guy came back on and said, Dave, come back and we'll do some Q&A. And so then he just asked me questions. And, you know, it's like you start thinking of stories that you could tell that are funny.
Yeah, straight away.
So I did the one about, which I forgot the punchline to, the one about getting nude in the backyard for Adam Hill show.
Yeah.
You've heard that story.
Yeah, I don't know what the end of it is, but I remember that.
Yeah, I had a dance around with Nachos, who was from Puppetry of the Penis. So he was very confident getting nude because he does that for a job and he pulls his genitals into different objects.
Oh, Puppetry of the Penis guy.
Yeah. This was the twist of the story. I turn up.
Don't say twist and Puppetry of the Penis in the same sense.
Well, I turn up to it was for Adam Hill's Tonight Show.
Yep.
And I would go and do reports and live crosses and stuff for it. And I had to go and reenact viewers' favourite childhood memories.
Well, that's a good idea.
You know, I played marbles in a playground. I carried a guy from the car in his pyjamas. And then the last one was run through the sprinkler naked with a viewer. But the viewer name was Nachos, who's a Puppetry the Penis guy. And, you know, he was very confident in that area.
So did you tell a story on stage with the...
I told that story, yeah.
With the bus drivers.
Yeah, because they asked me about Spicks and Specks, and then I think, I don't know that many funny stories, but I've got that funny story.
Mm.
So that's one of the anecdotes that I fall back on.
You got your fallback. Like you have a fallback dance, you got a fallback anecdote.
Yeah. And I would have done the bomb story too if they, you know, if I stayed up there any longer, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think.
What's your fallback?
I don't know. Well, I mean, my...
Well, Sting, doing yoga with Sting is a classic. It's a Glenn Robbins classic.
Yeah, yeah.
That's... And you've done that on... You did it on Adam Hill Show.
I've done it on Adam Hill Show, on radio, done it a lot. Yeah, it should be an episode of something. Surely we could film it and make it into something. Sure, we can make some money out of it. Go on.
Best hits. Best hits of anecdotes.
Speaking of, you go on.
But, you know, in your family, though, like your dad has his... Or your mum, they all have their...
Your standard issue.
The greatest hits, don't they?
Yeah. Well, my mum, at her 97th birthday, did half an hour.
Did she?
Half an hour.
Half an hour?
With questions. We go, what was the fun? Tell them about the time, you know. Half an hour. She would have kept on going.
Should have recorded her album.
Yeah, it's just, you know.
Put it on here as an extra.
And we struggle to do, what, 40 minutes?
Yeah, 40 minutes.
And we're professionals. And I'm 97.
Oh, here comes the music. Oh, should we have the music?
Thank God. Because we were going to tell some...
Or anecdotes that you've heard before.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. Now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
All right, well, welcome to the podcast, Somehow Related.
Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill. Just sitting back, relaxing. And I've got to admit, I came early today.
Yeah.
And I got to park right out the front, which on the days that you have extra time, you always get to park right at the front.
Yeah.
And then I sat there and I thought, can I bang out 10 minutes? So I had a little sleep in the car.
You had a sleep in the car?
Yep. And it was a busy, it's quite busy out there.
Yeah, it's not, you're like a truck driver.
And then I woke up and went, I'm late. And it was like, I had a good 15 minutes.
No, you were perfect timing.
Just came in perfectly. So I think we all know. Do you think you know what time it is, even though you're asleep? Some people say that.
I have a pretty good human alarm clock where I go, I've got to wake up in half an hour, and then I normally wake up. I don't put the alarm on. I get up every day about 7.
Yeah, I rarely
put the alarm on. Only when I'm doing breakfast radio do I put an alarm
on. Now that I think of it, I think I didn't turn it off this morning. Isn't it terrible when you get up before it and then you don't turn it off?
Oh, then it goes off. When you're in the shower or...
Yeah. And then it gets thrown at the bathroom door or something.
It.
Yeah. Somehow related, Glenn Robbins, Dave O'Neill, two topics that are...
Don't appear to be related. But they are.
And we have, I was going to say, the beautiful Sam, but that's a little patronage. I can't say.
Not in the Me Too
generation. I
want to see you getting Me Too'd with Sam on the front of the paper.
No.
Glenn Robbins' Me Too controversy with an electronic voice.
I was at a radio station this morning and I saw someone I know and she walked and I went, I'm going to block you getting past in the corridor. And they went, gee, you know, you're lucky you can do that. I mean, you get away with that, but other people wouldn't. That's true, you know.
Yeah.
It is harassment, isn't it?
Well, it could be. You do it to me often, but I don't complain. I don't write a letter to the... it's the Sam who's in charge of us.
You were talking about masturbating in the doorway.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Podcast,
so I don't think I'm doing all right.
That's a Louis C.K. reference.
Louis C.K. style. So
such a shame because I really like his comedy. Anyway.
I haven't seen that much of his stand-up. I must admit.
Oh, I've just seen bits and pieces, and what I've seen, I've liked.
Yeah, I loved his TV show.
Yeah, it's not often. Oh, the one though where he started to have a romance with the woman who couldn't speak English was a bit weird. Now you watch it through. I must admit, as a comedian, I don't watch many comedian specials. The only one I've watched recently is the Bill Burr one, which was hilarious.
I watched Chappelle's.
Is that good?
I loved it. He walked a fine line.
Yeah, I'll watch that.
You know, if you walk a fine line with quality jokes, I'll give you that. If you walk a fine line and it's kind of crappy jokes, you go, nah, you're just being opportunistic.
Hmm.
But no, it was very funny. I just like his style. So Sam is probably, she's off doing other things.
She's
but if we,
writing a complaint. Well, let's get our topics. All right. Thanks, Sam.
Isaac Newton and the Mint.
Okay. Wow. Is that... So thanks,
you know what the
thanks,
mint
Sam.
Is? You know what I've always thought about the mint? It's a license to print money.
Any joke is good if it's on topic.
That's good. That's my only mint joke that I can think of.
I thought you might have been going down the mint road.
Oh, like
because mint's popular in the lolly department because you're a lolly expert. You got your mints.
Lolly fiend.
You know
who I found the other day who's an absolute lolly fiend, and this will surprise you. Have a guess of a female comedian that you know well who's a lolly fiend. Have a guess. Time's up. Kitty Flanagan.
I was going to say Kitty.
She loves lollies. So she's on my other podcast, The Debrief. and she she's very sort of shy in a way.
Yeah, she is in a way.
Yeah, and she goes, I don't want to be on your podcast. And I said, well, just sit in the back and make comments, because Brad Oakes, friend of the show, was in the front. And we're coming back from Lawn, that's a bit of a drive.
Yeah.
But she ended up getting so passionate about lollies. And just chips and stuff in general, junk food.
She's funny. I saw her on a plane the other day, and you would not have known. She's incredibly popular. Her book's doing really...
Man, she's massive. Off chops.
Yeah. And no, you would not have recognised her. I had to look twice to see...
I thought it was her.
Yeah, because she was very inconspicuous, just like me. You know, I had my Uncle Arthur...
Yeah, T-shirt on.
T-shirt on, and Russell Coit hat, and walking in, talking to people. Do you want a photo? But she was very inconspicuous.
You always remind me of Skipper from Gilligan's Island when he opened up a restaurant and would walk around with his Skipper hat in real life. Something a bit sad about that.
So this is the Mint. Would this be...
Where they make... the coins and the dollars.
Yeah, I realise that. I wonder if it's it would be so. It would be any mint, not just a mint.
Yeah, it's probably not the Australian Mint, I'd say. Isaac Newton's.
I've been to the American Mint.
Was this a good?
Well, it's why would we? Was it in Washington? Must have been in Washington. Why did we go there? Probably because we could. But that was the time. Oh, again, I don't know whether I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again because it's on topic. We're at the Mint, and you go, you walk down the corridors.
You've never told this story.
That are above where they make the coins and where they make the money.
I say, you look down.
You look down. There's all the people with the outfits on, with the overalls with no pockets.
Of course. But you do have a human pocket, anyway. Well, you could put some coins or notes. I think they search people, don't they? Or
geez, we're down $5,000 again today.
Yeah.
Terry's walking a bit awkwardly. Hey, Terry, what? Yeah. Check your pockets.
Bend over.
Oh, what a big roll. So we're walking along, and you're with a group, and there's a guy talking, going, that's where they do the coins, that's where they do them. And as a bit of a prank, we walked ahead of the group, went around the corner. Opened up our wallets and pulled all our cash out, and then walked back against the tour group, saying to them, just go around there. They're giving it away.
Really?
Giving it away. Should have seen them all go. Giving away samples. Yeah, just go get some. Giving away samples.
Really?
Yeah.
That was jokers.
Well, that was the same. That was on the same trip where we went to a department store with a girl who'd never been to Australia, and we walked in.
Yeah.
And there was escalators, and I went to her, what's going on with the moving stairs? The stairs are moving. That's moving crazy stairs. You don't have them? Not. What are they? They're escalators. Just go from floor to floor. You don't have to do anything. Wow. How much for a go? They're free. And then we all got, whoa, relax, it's okay. Where do I hide? Just hold on. But does it all move at the same time? Yes, it's fine. I'm getting to the top. How do I get off?
This is like a can of camera prank tour that you're on.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to take advantage.
You got to have fun. The Mint. We went on a tour as school kids, I'm sure, because it used to be sort of near the airport, sort of.
Yeah, on Hume Highway.
Yeah, wasn't it?
In north of Melbourne.
Yeah, there was a Mint there.
And do you have different buildings for the – you got coin building?
Can't remember.
You've got to admit, the Australian money in world terms, very impressive.
It is impressive, yeah.
You got your colours happening. You got your see-through. Who's got your watermarks on the notes?
My kids were asking me the other day, who's this? And I said – and they read the names off. They said Banjo Patterson. I said, oh, I know who that is. He's a poet. Mm. But then they read the –
there's a bit of aeronautical stuff in there, isn't there? Are you pulling some money out now?
That's a $50. That's Banjo Patterson, I think.
That's not Banjo Patterson.
So that's an Aboriginal guy. I don't know who that is. Do you know who that is on the $50?
No. If you were on there, you wouldn't want to be the low denomination. You want to be up there. You want to be at least a 20.
Well, on the 100. Look at that. Melba. Dame Nellie Melba.
Oh, yeah. The opera singer.
That's got Melba on there somewhere. At least it's got, we can actually see, and that is, there's a gentleman. Who's that? Did he find a war?
Politician?
Yeah, maybe a politician.
Looks like he is.
Isn't it disgraceful that we don't know who's on our notes?
Well, it's
getting I used to do a joke about how imagine if you went out with the Queen, but then you broke up with her, but then every day you'd look at her face. Oh, there she is again. There she are, you're taunting me. $20. Oh, that might be Banks or someone like that. He's on a boat, isn't he? And it's Colonial.
They should go for some more up-to-date people.
Oh, he's got a plane. That one. The other side of the $20. He's got Wright a plane. Or something. The Wright brothers? No, he's got a plane and a camel. Oh, he's into all sorts of transport. Imagine being the dude who, or the person who...
How long do you reckon Cash's going to last?
I reckon 5 more years.
You reckon 5?
Yeah.
I reckon a couple. I reckon I'm right on the verge now.
Oh, really? You are? Yeah.
But what? Tell me where you would not be able to use cash. Where you'd have to use cash. Nowhere.
Nowhere.
Everywhere it's got a tap and go, rub. Or it's not really a tap. I'll put more of a rub.
The big issue guy down the street, he's cash. But I had one the other day who had a credit card thing.
So what, the big issue guy had a credit card thing?
Yes, absolutely. He had it. Yeah. Yep. I know. And some buskers have them now too. Yeah, buskers have got tap stuff now. Yep.
So you can say, I want to give you $5, tap and go.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, that's good. Because it was always parking meters and stuff like that. But coffee's fine.
But for short, small transactions, are you getting charged a fee for that? I bet you you are.
Yeah.
But see, that's annoying.
But what would it be? 2% or something?
Yeah, it wouldn't be much, but it's still annoying, I reckon. I don't know. There's something about cash that I like. Because, you know, think about everything. Everything gets taxed. Everything gets controlled by the government now. I'm no conspiracy theorist.
I think you are. I think you're up late at night up on the
government. 9/11, inside job. I don't know.
What about coins? See, anything below a dollar, you're out of here. You're in the coin jar. Yeah. What's the point?
Oh, well, sometimes buying stuff.
Anything worth under a dollar. Really, you shouldn't be buying.
Buying stuff at a 7-Eleven. Yeah, it's amazing. They've talked about getting rid of 5-cent pieces because 5-cent pieces cost more to produce than 5 cents.
There you go. So all my silver straight into the... do you put yours in a jar?
We've got a jar tray sort of thing, somewhere.
And then what do you do with that?
Eventually the kids sort it out and take it to the bank.
Because they've got that new counting machine now, which you just pour it in one hole and it shakes it.
Oh, really?
Oh, have you not had a go at that?
It's in the bank.
The bank, or my bank's got one in Bratton, where you pour it into the hole and it all shakes and it all comes down. You try to throw in a few washers and a few...
Foreign coins.
Foreign coins, you know.
In Brighton, they need one for $100 notes, you know, just to shake it all up.
It's very satisfying, except it goes into your bank account. I'd rather convert it into a 50 and go, wow, I've turned that into a 50.
Yeah, exactly.
It is amazing when you go, there's $300 in that jar right there. It's quite heavy. You do feel a bit embarrassed, though, when you're walking in there. You feel like a school kid.
And also wasting their time.
But the machine doesn't waste anyone's time. And if you go there after hours, when you're only waste, if other people are coming in, you go, no, mate, I'll get out of your way because I'm a big coin guy here. And, you know, you probably do it once every couple of years. But anyway.
Imagine what they see with this thing when you come through the door with the big thing. Here he comes again.
So when did money?
Money. I looked it up. The kids were talking about it the other day and I looked it up, but I can't remember.
When did it first exist?
Yeah, because
the Romans. Got to be the Romans.
Yes, the Romans and the Greeks. The Greeks.
They would have been getting together down the market and going, this is ridiculous. I can't swap bananas
for fish. For fish.
You know, how can we say something in between? It's a legal tender.
Monetary system, isn't it? You know, that was introduced.
It'd be BC, wouldn't it? It'd be before that.
And it's always that thing of, how do they work out how much money to print? You know what I mean? Because before you put value on that money, I'm talking about modern days now.
Yeah, yeah.
That money is just a piece of paper or a piece of metal or plastic as we have now. How do you...
What, initially or all the time?
Yeah, how do you... Is it like one goes out of... Because money eventually, you know, when they you get a written note... I hear what you're saying.
So in other words, is there a bit of paper at the mint somewhere that says how much cash is out there?
There must be.
They must know there that must we put be. Out there so many billion.
Mm. Well, they say there's a shortage of $100 notes.
Or people are sus about them.
Because drug dealers and criminals have got them all under mattresses and stuff.
Well, so if someone pulls out 100, you give them a second look, you reckon?
Oh, you know, I always do the same joke every time. There you go, mate. I make them in the garage. They look pretty good, don't they? Standard joke every time. I've got 100 here. Yeah, and you know, they always... Didn't you always want a counterfeit, though?
But and wasn't there a way that you used to hold them up to the light and you had to put a line through them or something?
Remember we used to go to a supermarket and you get a 50 out. They used to give price check on the $50 note.
But how do they do it?
Oh, no, they just hold it up and then the manager would come over and look at it. Yeah, that's all right, Cheryl. That's fine. Okay. $50 check. $50 check.
But nowadays, people are slightly sus about the 100.
They are, especially at markets and stuff, because that's often if you get counterfeit, you go to the market and try and pass it off there.
Because if you cop it, you've got it. You've lost 100.
Yeah, it's you that cops it. That's right.
But you would be tempted to sort of keep on passing it down the line, wouldn't you? But I wonder how they get it eventually. How do they know eventually?
It gets handed into a bank or a police station.
So if you go to Ulm and put some money in the bank, you're 100 down because one was a counterfeit.
Yeah.
And the police are coming now.
Yeah, that's right. How do you feel about ripped notes?
What notes?
A ripped note.
Good question.
Do you fix it up with a bit of sticky tape and try and pass it off?
I have in the past. Okay. And I read something once that, like, if it was a $5 note ripped, that they'll give you like $3.50 for it. Is that true?
Oh, that's not true. They can't give $3.50 for a $5 note.
But what if there's a bit missing, like about $1.50's worth?
Yeah, true.
But it's not your fault. You're still a bit of paper that says $5. And that other person's not going to take the end bit and go, this is 50.
Yeah. But also, is a certain percentage of note has to be left. I think it's
under 50%.
Yeah, yeah. It's not valid anymore.
Yeah.
It's not valid anymore. Did you ever stick – we used to do this thing at in high school. We'd stick the – remember the green $2 note? Remember the classic?
Yeah.
We used to stick it on the floor outside the staff room. And then sit inside the common room, the year 12 common room, and watch the teachers
come trying to pick it up. And then bang on the window or something.
Classic. Then I'll just piss yourself laughing. Whoa. I don't know. Do you reckon they still have year 12 common rooms? We had a great time. And so we had this common room where we had a record player.
Yeah.
We had a TV for a while.
That's pretty cool.
And we had tea and coffee facilities.
Yeah, you had it covered.
And we just would go in there and just play records and stuff.
You could hang out. It was kind of like.
Because you had some periods off.
Yeah.
It was the closest we got to Happy Days, wasn't it?
The federal police could go in there. It's kind of like you were in a protected zone.
Yeah. So you go in there and there'd be people trying to do homework.
Yeah.
And we had this whole thing where one of the walls went to outside, but the other wall went onto a classroom where this teacher who was very unpopular, she had some kind of illness or something where she had to hang on to the blackboard to stand up, which is awful when we think about it now as adults. Yeah. But as kids, and she was really mean, we all used to get four big guys and run at the wall. And then someone would go and watch. So we'd all go run at the wall and make the wall move. And so she'd hang on to the blackboard. Oh. Did anyone else feel that? There was an earthquake.
That's some sort of... vertigo scenario happening.
It's terrible, isn't it?
Poor thing.
What terrible students we were.
When you think about the horrible things you did to teachers and that you did to other students. I remember someone put a drawing pin on my seat.
Ooh.
Which is incredibly painful.
Yeah.
And I sat on it.
Oh.
And I didn't know because it had gone straight into the...
Into the hole.
It was like bullseye.
Oh, wow. Well, that's lucky in a way.
How lucky is that? What are the chances of being a bullseye? And I sat down and everyone went... What's going on with you? I said, what? And they always put a drawing pin on there. I'm going, oh, there it is, right there. Right in there.
Should we move just to Isaac Newton? Or do you want to say anything else? Mints and money. Money is fascinating.
Money.
Money talks.
The other thing I was going to say is, remember when every denomination or every, that, there's always a way you can fold the note to make it look something inappropriate. You can make the Queen into a penis.
And don't you love the way when you go to Bali or somewhere, you're a millionaire? Check me out, kids.
Well, American money's like that. You open your wallet with American money, you can't tell because it's all the same.
I know.
Because you look down and you're in with Australian money, you go, oh, wow, I've got a couple
different
of...
Different
colours.
Got a rock lobster.
It's a pineapple? What's a pineapple?
Pineapples are 50.
Yeah.
And lobster, 20? 20.
What's 100?
Yeah, there must be slang for 100. A greenback. We'll call it a greenie.
Yeah.
They're a greenie, aren't they? There must be slang for 100.
But, you know, see, I'm not a what's-her-name guy. Some people have the clip.
No, the clip. Yeah, no. That's sort of a bit stockbrokery, isn't it?
It's a bit drug dealer. It's a bit show-off where you peel the money off.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a wallet guy.
Look at my wallet. It's a big chunky dad's wallet. Because young people don't have wallets.
What do they have?
Oh, they just have like a clip thing or something like that. They have their phone. Their phone's got everything in it. So you can open up a phone. You can have your license and credit card in that phone.
So you're done. I'm about to go over. to something side. Smaller. Mm. But I've got a lot of credit cards, you know, a lot of...
Diners Club.
Diners Club.
American Express. American Express. Frequent Flyer.
Yeah,
I mean, look at the rubbish I've got in here.
Oh, you got
Medicare. I got Medicare. I've got old credit cards.
Battery, Qantas, Frequent Flyer.
Yarra Libraries.
Yeah.
Bupa.
And how often are you using those cards? Not very often.
Not very often, no.
Yeah, and it's just a big... You know, they say that crap. Wallets can throw people's backs out.
Yeah, it's true.
Because you're compensating for them.
So true. Oh, I got a book voucher. That's good. $28 left. All right. Sir Isaac Newton. Who is Sir Isaac Newton again?
He's a scientist, isn't he?
Yes. He was the one who...
Yeah, the apple.
The apple fell on the head.
Well, they say that he was looking out his window.
Oh.
And he saw it fall and went, hang on a second.
So he came up with the theory of relativity. That's Sir Isaac Newton, isn't it? Gravity. That's him. Is that him?
That's him.
Yeah.
That's him. Yeah, because there's a special on SBS at the moment called Newton. Oh, no, don't get it wrong. Newton and who's the other guy? The guy on the wheelchair. The guy in the wheelchair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know who you mean. Yep.
And now we're talking about relativity.
Yep.
And you know what relativity is?
No.
I had it. They explained it on the show last night.
Oh, go and tell us.
So, if take from this what you will. Mm. If you have a car and you're throwing balls out the back of the car and the car's stationary,
yep.
Right, the balls come out at a certain rate.
Yep.
If you're consistent with the throwing.
Yeah.
But then if the car is moving then you throw the balls actually don't move because they're coming out relative to the movement of the car. Oh, my God, I've explained that
my
quite
kids were
well.
Asking me the other day about that.
So it must be in terms of, you know, your planets and shit.
Yeah, planets and shit. That's how they explain it.
That's how they explain it. That it's that the existence is in terms of relativity.
Right.
Not in terms of what is actually happening. Okay. So you can throw if you drive a car at the right speed and you throw the ball, it won't actually move.
Yeah, right.
It won't go anywhere.
Yeah, it won't go anywhere.
Well, first of all, it won't go as far as it was before.
Because the car's moving.
Because the car's moving.
Yeah, the kids asked me that the other day. So now I can tell them.
Yeah. Isaac
Glenn Robbins just told me the answer.
It's funny, I was only watching that last night. So he was big on your gravity, your astronomy, your maths, your whole thing. 1600s, I think he was around in.
Yeah.
So,
and the story was he was sitting in a tree and an apple fell on his head.
And that's when he started thinking about gravity.
Gravity, yeah.
He would have thought plenty of stuff would have happened before then, before this, the apple falling on his head.
Hasn't he seen an umbrella fall over? Or
yeah, or he dropped it.
Leaves falling off a tree?
Having a sandwich and he dropped it or chucked a rock at something.
It's like that. It's always like that. That quiz that kids always ask kids. What falls faster, a kilo of bricks or a kilo of feathers?
I don't know.
No, have a guess. What falls faster?
What falls faster, kilo of bricks?
No, well they're both the same weight. They fall at the same speed. It's a kilo.
They're not the same weight.
It's a kilo of bricks.
Oh, they're the kilo.
It's a trick question. You'd think bricks would fall faster, but I assume the kilo of feathers is a lot bigger than the kilo of bricks in terms of mass.
Surely,
it's like doing a physics class in here.
But it's resistance. Surely the feathers would have more.
Yeah.
This is what they're designed for.
Very good point.
Birds aren't flying around with a couple of bricks on their end of their wings.
Maybe we should.
Well, let's have a word or two to Isaac Newton. You know, he was a stutterer.
Oh. Stutter.
Which is a very unfortunate thing to have.
Yes. Yes, I know. But there's been a few famous stutterers. So a few actors are stutterers.
I wonder if they mind if I say. Would Michael Veitch mind if I said that he was a stutterer?
Yeah, he can stutter a bit, can't he?
What was amazing, he would stutter. If you're doing a scene with him, he would be stuttering. But as soon as he went into character, no stutter.
No stutter.
As soon as they sing a song, no stuttering.
That's right.
It's kind of like it's a neuroplasticity. No, it's like a something like that. You know, where you learn, you use a different mind, a different path in the mind.
Yeah.
But it must be incredibly frustrating.
Oh, terrible! To try and think of a word and then have it not come out. Remember the stutter rap? Remember the?
Oh, there's been some jokes too.
The stutter rap. The stutter rap. I always remember a comedian called Bill Tanike, who's now a drama teacher.
Is he?
Yeah, you remember Big Bill Tonike?
He's a drama teacher now because he was kind of getting things done. He was in a lot of stuff.
He was an actor. He was in musicals and stuff. He used to do that joke about, I used to hate that ad, get red, red, ready, red, 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 ready, red, 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 ready, red, rooster. Until I went into a Red Rooster store and the guy went, may I help you? I told him when I saw him recently, I love that joke. He goes, you can do it. I don't do it anymore. I'm like, oh, I can't do it, but I'll do it on the podcast.
Did Isaac Newton do something called alchemy or something? Or did he try it? What's that? The Philosopher's Stone or something?
That's a Harry Potter book.
But isn't there like the Philosopher's Stone where they turn a rock into gold or something?
Oh, okay. Maybe it is. Yeah.
He was, and I think what happened was he came up with the theory and they banned it.
Oh.
You couldn't read it. And then that was found years later, and not that they were.
I assume some theories are so controversial at their time that they think they ban them because it's like devil's work, you know?
Yeah.
Like, how dare you say the earth is round? That kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting. Philosopher's Stone. And that, I don't know whether that's got anything to do with
Harry Potter?
I don't think it has, because that's a different philosopher and different stone, isn't it?
No, well, yeah,
I don't know that
book,
story.
Is that the first one? Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
That's number one. I've never seen one film.
You know, I dressed up as. You've never seen a Harry Potter film?
I've seen the first one. It's always been on a Saturday night. And it's
Just repeated them all, yeah, on Channel 9.
Yeah, but you always go. It's either a kid flying around with a stick or it's some dragon or a kid with white hair being annoying.
Yeah, that's
kind
Malfoy,
of it, really. Yeah. Oh, and there's a tall guy. The big guy, Grumman.
Hey, Hagrid. I dressed up with him as him the other day. I'll put the photo on my son. Yeah, I'll show you the photo. My son had a Harry Potter party. He's 26. And he's 11. And I dressed up as Hagrid because as the choice for a fat man in the Harry Potter world, that's all you got. That's all. Here I am. That's me as Hagrid.
Oh, what? How did you do that?
That's a beard and a wig, attached to a
beard. Oh, that's very, very good.
I'll show you all the other kids. Hang on.
Oh,
because all the kids.
You would have been really popular to get a lot of selfies with. Oh, yeah.
So my wife's professor.
Oh, you've nailed it.
So the kids all come dressed. Oh, not all the kids come dressed, but
afterwards,
you know.
Did you keep the outfit on
in the bedroom? Sure, in the bedroom. Yeah. Everyone wants a bit of Hagrid. Because the people that don't know, Hagrid's the big hairy one played by, he's a very good actor.
He was in that TV show.
We played the psychologist who dealt with criminals. Yeah. Great actor. Anyway, great big actor. Scottish, big bloke.
Yeah.
And he's kind of the groundskeeper who lives at the bottom of Hogwarts in a shack with a dragon. Or so he's got a pet something or other.
So he's a friendly giant.
He's a friendly giant. He's very friendly to Harry Potter. But the kids always ask me, who have you met from the Harry Potter series?
In the real world.
Yeah. Have you met any Harry Potter people? Surely on the panel it would have been.
No,
Daniel Radcliffe?
No.
Okay. Well, I've met the Weasley twins, who are the twins, right? Okay. Mm. On the circle.
Are they good guys or bad guys?
No, they're good guys.
Okay.
They end up running a magic shop.
Right.
They're kind of a bit of the comic relief of the book.
Right. Yep.
But I also met David Thewlis, who plays, he's a great English actor who plays Lupin. Professor Lupin. Okay, mm-hmm. He turns into a werewolf. Anyway, he's a good guy. He's mm-hmm. a teacher at Hogwarts, and he's a good guy. But we interviewed him on the radio, and he was hilarious. You know, some of these guys, the British actors are quite funny.
Yeah.
And he was saying, so what would happen every year for a while, a Harry Potter book would get released, and that meant whether they had a role in the next movie. You know what I mean? So they're all hanging out.
No, I haven't looked.
They're all hanging out. And, you know,
flipping the pages.
Yeah, because what would happen when these books would get released in England and same in Australia, people would be lining up at midnight for the book to get released. And he goes, yeah, I'd just be moping around the house. And my wife would go, oh, for fuck's sake, go and buy the book, will you? And then he'd ring up Gary Oldman, who plays one of the other big characters, and go, "What? Have you read the book, Gary?" "Yeah, yeah, you've got a part." And he's like, "Oh, yeah." So Gary Oldman, he'd ring up Gary Oldman, the other actor. Imagine that. What a conversation that'd be. Go and get the book, you idiot.
It's funny when you get a movie script sometimes.
Oh, and you flick through it.
On the computer, you can just put in your character's name and just go bang all the pages you're on. And did you read the script? Yeah.
Well, I always
read the bits that you're in.
I always think when I watch TV series, so I've been watching what series? Because I've been on planes a lot, just doing gigs and stuff. But I watch Billions. I've been watching Billions.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen Billions?
No.
With that great redhead guy from Homeland, the British actor.
Yeah, no.
And we're no good at remembering names, are we? Great. Paul Giamatti. You know, the fat guy who's in Sideways.
It is a bit airless and hot in here. That's why we're a bit vague.
Yeah, yeah. So Paul Giamatti, you know.
Oh, that's good. Remembered well then.
You know, the fat guy. I know the one. Yep. He's fantastic in Sideways.
Mm.
And
he's fantastic.
Oh, he's great. He plays the Attorney General or something like it, like a head lawyer guy.
Yeah, right.
And he goes up against the redhead guy from Homeland. But I always look at, they've got so many good little characters, and I always think, wow, that guy only had one line in that whole show.
Mm.
You know, does he hang around all day or?
Because
they must get signed for the whole series. And then some weeks they're doing nothing. And then other weeks they've got like a major part.
But they probably just shoot it.
I might shoot their bits.
They shoot it. That comes back to your
scheduling.
Your first who does all that.
See, this is a bit of an insight. This is a behind the curtains with Glenn Robbins.
Mm.
So they try and schedule all your stuff together. So you do it all in a week.
Yeah, it depends on availability and location availability. If it's a regular location, that's fine. It doesn't really matter. You don't have to worry about it. If the location is limited and you've got a limit on a person,
you go in and everyone else
will have a week off because they're shooting that one guy.
Mm.
Like I did up in Middle Bogan, and there were a lot of people that had other jobs and you would have to shoot around
them. Oh, wow. Same with Utopia. But Utopia, they actually... Where they shoot, they rent that premises.
Yeah,
out
so you
for
got
it 100%
of the time. Yeah,
so you can tell that with American.
Me, shows. I didn't have any other jobs on, so I was available the whole time. So I was just. What's bad is
I'm always in the caravan.
Right? If you get a split, which is you get called at 5:30 and you're in the first scene, then you're all day, and then you're in the final scene. So you got to hang around in the
caravan.
But first of all, problem there's good buffet, and you know you can.
But that's how people get fat too.
Oh, the buffets are unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah, so good. So we haven't said much about Isaac Newton. He's a smart bloke.
Scientist. What else can we say?
What else can you? He's clever.
Should we have some thinking music? I think I need some thinking music.
I
think I'm getting hot in here.
What
thinking music have the mint?
In terms of money.
Money.
There's a great scene in, I hope we don't do Curb Your Enthusiasm too much. There's a great scene in Curb Your Enthusiasm where, what's his name? Larry.
It's coming back.
LD. It's coming back.
No, I read in the paper it's coming back. Yeah.
So will that be series of 10 or 11?
Oh, something like that.
Where they're out at a restaurant with another couple.
Split the bill.
Yeah. And the other guy, he goes, no, I got this. And then Larry goes, well, thank you. And then the wife goes,
should you thank me? Yeah.
I don't know. I think he has the money and I think he, what did you do? Hey, can we hear that scene?
It's very funny.
Mm. Thank you, Stu.
Anyway, thanks, Stu. That's very nice of you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What about me? You can thank me, too?
And thank you, Susan.
You're welcome.
Why do I have to thank you?
For dinner that my husband and I treated you to?
Oh, I thought he treated me to it.
Stu pulled out the credit card and put it down, yes.
Yeah. So I thanked him.
And he's using our money to pay for it. So you could thank us. We're taking you out to dinner.
Well, you can call it our money, but just for the sake of discussion, he's the one who goes to work and earns the money. You don't work.
All right. What about Cheryl? You don't work for yourself. Whose money is it in your household?
Honey, it's our money.
Well, this is...
No, it's not.
No, brother.
I've earned the money.
Oh, so what do? You pay her a salary? And
no.
How does she buy things?
She spends the money that I've earned. She didn't work. I earned the money.
Well, do you want to have a crack? So Isaac Newton and the mint. I'll go. I think he came up with the idea of the mint. I think he invented the mint.
You think he invented?
I think he invented the mint, mint.
So hang on. You think he invented something that already existed?
Well, not the Greeks. But how did the Greeks and Rome, did they actually have a... I suppose they... I don't know. I just reckon he invented the modern... I'm just going to say the modern-day mint. He invented it.
Okay. I'm going to say that he was the first person to have his face on a coin.
Oh, that's a good guess. Because he could have easily been on the American coins, couldn't he?
Yeah.
Mm. All right, Sam. Well, what is the answer?
Famed mathematician, physicist, astronomer, theologian and author Isaac Newton was warden then master of the English Royal Mint for 27 years until his death in 1727. The position was supposed to be honorary, with an office and the salary rather than actual responsibilities for the statesman appointing Newton to the Mint. Charles Montagu wrote, "It is worth £500 or £600 per annum and has not much business to require more attendance than you can spare." But Newton took it quite seriously. He resigned his position at Cambridge and even caught over 20 coin counter fizz, is doing a lot of the detective work himself.
Wow, that's...
So hang on, you're at the Mint, you're working along, everything's going fine. Yeah. Oh, we've got a new the new boss coming in.
Sir Isaac.
Hey, Isaac, you've been working on your gravity, your relativity.
What, did he just stop coming up with theories, did he? He just went, oh, I'm going to get a normal job now, I'm going to get in charge of that old Mint.
It's like, you know, you just, it's like going into sort of late night radio. You just kind of turn, you know, just turning your hand. Not worrying.
Well, it's always amazing. There's a couple near me who are like models, right? They're both models. No, they're tram drivers. So they've just gone, well, as you get older, there's less and less modelling work.
Oh, yeah.
And they've just, they're tram drivers. Ding, ding. Both of them, though.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Good-looking tram drivers,
good looking,
though.
If you see some good-looking tram drivers, that'll be... Pete and
you'd have to question going into modelling. I mean, you and I could have been models.
We could have.
Yeah, and we didn't go into that very reason.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Having said that,
it's like being an AFL player. You have a short lifespan, don't you, in that career.
Yeah.
But then again, the good ones spin it into something else.
We had one of the girls who did wardrobe on, Kath and Kim, and she just went, I don't want to do this anymore. It's too hard. I want to be a train driver.
And she became a train driver?
Yeah, became a train driver.
I know a lot of it. Quite stressful, though.
Would it be?
Well,
I guess so.
I reckon a little bit. Train driver.
Yeah, but you're
the, right. Hey, you know what? She, one of my friends, one of my neighbours, got to the last two or three to be a train driver, and he was told, we're going with a woman instead of you. Maybe it was the wardrobe girl from Kath and Kim who stole his job.
Maybe it was. So Isaac Newton ran the Mint. Didn't come up with any new ideas for the Mint.
No.
But he ran the Mint, and that would be the American Mint. Maybe it was the Mint where I did that. Maybe it was the one that I was watching.
Maybe it was your prank.
Did a little prank.
Maybe it was a retirement plan for him. It's going to... You know, I've hit 50 or whatever.
Maybe you've got a bit of pressure at home, but, you know, you can stop coming up with your fangled ideas. We need some money.
You sitting by that tree again? Get out of there.
Stop watching things fall off trees. Stop putting money fluid on the table, Isaac.
Oh,
don't call me Isaac. I hate it when you call me. Call me...
Sir.
Sir.
He served as the warden and master of the Royal Mint. So I don't know what the difference between a warden and a master is.
They call it a mint.
A mint, yeah, that's a really good question.
Because mint is what? It's a leaf.
Yeah,
it's a. What do you put mint into?
Mint, tea, mint tea,
minties.
That's a really good question. What do they call it? A mint,
and it's fresh breath as well.
Yeah,
and it's a place where you make money. Surely we've got enough words that we could have another word for making money.
Yeah, yeah, money
maker. The money house.
The money house. The money maker.
Kind of the, you know.
The money factory.
Mint.
Finance factory.
And there's another meaning of mint, which is mint condition.
Yes, but that does that spin off from the same, very good condition.
Is it, hey, I've got so-and-so. Is it mint?
Is it mint?
It's mint.
Mint. Minted.
It's mint. Absolutely.
Well, we've all learned some stuff today, haven't we?
Yes, we have. Geez, we usually finish on a moment. I messed up the start of it, now I'm going to mess up the end of it.
Yeah, but we're getting hot.